you need to transfer the deal or anything?
Okay.
The computer room. Obviously, there is still quite a bit of confusion in regards to even this doctrine. Surprise, surprise. In the last days, especially. The church must be pretty important since we are the body that's adjoined to the head, which is Jesus Christ. For those who dismiss its existence as your most pressing responsibility. Now, just disjoint yourself then from Jesus. Can't operate without a head. Or you can, you flop around all over the ground, I guess, but anyway. One, vocabulary definition. Vocabulary of yours, Greek words used for church. Its definition, to define it specifically. The etymology, obviously recognizing throughout history words will take on and progressively take on different nuances and even different meanings. Like the word cool used to be just all it referred to was temperature. And then in the 50s or whatever, 60s, it became to mean something that was neat or hip or whatever among the jargon of the teenagers, etc. Sick, that's a common one today. I think that term is sick in and of itself. But anyway, that to me, you can see our grammar just turning more perverted. You know, cool was cool. Sick is just gross. Why would you want anything to be sick? I don't want to be sick. I just got over being sick. You know. Well, that's just sick. That's just twisted. That's what that is. Anyway, I'll get off that here. And then distinctions, as we've addressed to a certain degree already. All right, the only Greek term translated, quote, church, end quote, is our Greek term ekklesia. E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A in the Greek. Which term is used 114 times in the New Testament? 114 times. About 27 books. Figure it out. But yet there are those out there that church isn't that important. B, the word itself is derived from the compound, it's a compound noun, compound ek, E-K, which means out from, in quotes, and then our noun klesis, in quotes, from kaleo, the verb, to call, in quotes, with the root meaning to call out from, to call out from. Shepherd calling out the sheep by their name, and the shepherd and the sheepfold. Call them out to pasture. See. When Bible class is being held, the under-shepherd is calling out, come get some spiritual food. See. See, its basic meaning in Greek culture was a gathering of citizens. Again, we see how terms, words might have been utilized in a certain capacity. And then the Christian faith, and those of the Christian faith, started to adopt some of these terms and apply it in regards to their own existence, their own formulation in that regard. Another one is elders, similar to this, the term elders, presbyteros. So its basic meaning in Greek culture was a gathering of citizens for a meeting or assembly gathered to discuss the affairs of state. It's used three times this way in the New Testament. Give you a taste of this etymology in the beginning. Acts 19, 32, 39, and 41, that chapter.
would be translated in that terms assembly. Assembly then became technical for assembly of believers called the church. That's just the idea behind the word. So then some were shouting one thing and said another, for the assembly was in confusion. In regards to addressing Paul and Christians at Ephesus and things of that nature. And the majority did not know for what cause they had come together. People all around in chaos, as you might imagine. Verse 39, but if you want anything beyond this, you shall be settled in the lawful assembly, not by a hanging party otherwise, by court rulings. Verse 41, and after saying this, he dismissed the assembly. And follow the money and you'll always find out what's going on. That's the background of this passage. One, Demetrius, a silversmith. But anyway, just kind of ironic. D, it is used in the Septuagint. That's what your Roman numerals LXX means. Septuagint, 70, to designate the gathering of Israel. Summoned for any definite purpose or gathering regarded as representative of the whole nation. Septuagint is a Greek rendering of the Old Testament Hebrew text. So, while the Septuagint is not inspired, even though in the study of Christ, you will see him refer to the Septuagint specifically in many of his teachings. And there were principles that he was able to draw from it that were doctrinally correct. When he did that, and he drew from the Septuagint, and he taught in that fashion, then it became doctrine. See. The Septuagint, it used it to designate the gathering of Israel as an assembly, as a nation, as a representative of the whole nation. It's used in the translations of Deuteronomy 4:10 and 9:10 and many other places in that vein. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, Deuteronomy 4:10. When the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me, ecclesia, that I may let them hear my words, so they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, that they may teach their children. Parents are ultimately responsible to teach their own children. I'm responsible to teach the adults. If you don't teach your own children and keep them in Bible class, then that's your problem. Not mine. Not God's. And obviously, if you're not fastidious in regards to your own NPR, don't expect your kids to be top-notch either if they don't have to come. You know, that's just the way life is, man. Verse 10, and the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone written by the finger of God, and on them were all the words which the Lord had spoken with you at the mountain from the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly, ecclesia in the Septuagint. It is used of Israel in this vein in the New Testament, translated here in Acts 7:38 in the New American Standard as congregation. It's congregation. Congregation, assembly, basically synonymous. This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness. That is Moses, verse 37, who said to the sons of Israel, God shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. Moses was a type of Christ. And congregation, that's ekklesia in the Greek, in the New Testament. In the wilderness together with the angel who is speaking to him on Mount Sinai. Angel of Yahweh. And who is with our fathers and received living oracles to pass on to you.
F, with the formation of the early church, the term took on a more technical meaning to define Christians, in contrast to the Jewish congregations assembled in synagogues and or other civil assemblies. Ecclesia came to point to these new Christians in their assembly when it was used. Like someone who may belong to an organization. Masons. Obviously, Mason is a concrete worker that is used to recognize people who are part of the organization. But anyway. Church. The church borrowed the term, and it became known in their assembly as the church, in their congregated whole. So G, the remaining 110 uses of the New Testament, it is translated church or churches, both in singular and plural, illustrating the dominant meaning it assumed in transition. In the etymology, ultimate state, it looks at the assembly of believers. It must further be understood that the use of the term church can be construed in one of two ways. The universal church, church universal, however you may say that, or the local church, as we have been dealing with. And we'll pick this up Thursday evening. Father, again, thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God and the Holy Spirit to enlighten us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.